I was doing some math yesterday, and I realized in my first 18 years of life, I only lived in two houses. I lived in a smaller home with my two sisters and my two parents until I was 5 years old. And then we built a larger house, a two-story house, that we moved into when I was five. And it was just those two houses that I lived in those first 18 years. But then in the next 18 years, I lived in 10 different houses. So I really expanded my horizons in my last 18 years. I was moving all over the place from college and then eventually moving to Minnesota and then moving from house to house to seminary and different houses and dormitories and places in seminary. And when I was a missionary for a year in Minnesota, I lived probably in another dozen houses. So if you counted those, I was living out of a suitcase and moving from house to house about every 2 weeks. So my last 18 years have been really filled with lots and lots of houses. But I've heard it said that home or your house is where your mom is. And so even when I go home to Cincinnati, actually a house I've never lived in, because my parents moved there only about 5 years ago, I say I'm going home, even though I've never even lived there. But my mom is there. And so that's home. But then when I come back to Minnesota, I say, well, I'm going home. So I've got homes in both Minnesota and in Cincinnati. Because our houses or our homes are bigger than just a dwelling. Home or a house, that there's something more enduring than just mortar and bricks and boards. A house actually denotes, I think, a relationship. Like I said, a house or a home is where your mom is. It's where your family is. And so we have this kind of analogy of calling a house this dwelling place, but also a house, a family. And we see this in our readings today, this different use of the word house. In the first reading, David is all concerned at first about building a house, a physical structure. He's in his palace, and he feels a bit guilty. And here he's in this house of cedar, he says, while the ark of God dwells in a tent. Now, just a reminder, the ark was that structure built when Israel was going through the desert, and it contained the Ten Commandments. It contained Aaron's staff and some of the manna that they had collected in the desert. And then they carried that ark into the promised land. And so David, now here the king of Israel, had recovered the ark, but it was just outside in a tent. It didn't have a physical structure or a lasting dwelling. And so he had this great idea, well, maybe I'll build a house for the Lord to dwell in. I'll build some temple. It was a good idea. Nathan even said, well, the Lord's with you, go for it. But then the Lord chimes in a bit later and he says, David, I don't have that in your cards. I don't have that plan for you. I'm gonna give that to your heir. And actually, David's son Solomon does build a temple that the Ark of the Covenant comes to dwell in, and God's presence fills the temple with smoke and power. And so the Ark does find at some point a physical structure. The house of God has his very presence in it. But then he points to something further, and the Lord says to David that he will establish a house for him. And he doesn't mean a physical building. He says that he'll raise up an heir after David, and that the Lord will father this heir, that he'll be a son to him, and their house and kingdom shall endure forever. This house of David that the Lord talks about is much more than just a physical structure. It becomes David's lineage, his kingdom. We even hear about it in the gospel when the angel travels from God to a town called Nazareth. And that angel is said to visit Mary, who was betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. Same house. That the Lord continued to endure with David's lineage. He continued to want to make himself a place of refuge for them in their house, in their family. And then we have this encounter with the angel and Mary, this lowly figure. The angel says to her that she will conceive in her womb and she's going to bear a son. She's going to bear an heir. He says that this heir will be a son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. So we see in Jesus, the Messiah, this fulfillment of God's promise to David, that he would want to dwell in his house. Yet, he comes to dwell in human flesh. He dwells in Mary, in her womb. That's a profound thing that we just don't want to gloss over. That the Lord actually prefers to dwell in Mary. She had been welcomed into the house of David through her betrothal to Joseph. And so the Lord chooses to dwell in her over some kind of physical structure, over some kind of temple or tent or ark, that Mary becomes the new Ark of the Covenant, that ark that traveled throughout the desert, that was brought into the Holy Land and placed in the Holy of Holies, the temple, that place of worship for the house of David, but then ultimately was lost. That ark would now be human flesh. We don't know where the ark is. You've probably seen, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark or some kind of movie about it. You know, we don't know exactly where the ark is now, these Ten Commandments and manna. But we know where the new ark is. The new ark, Mary, is in the Lord's house. She's in the family of God. She's here in the church as our mother, with Joseph as her husband. And we too, brothers and sisters, can imitate her reception of the dwelling place of God. Mary, in her womb and in her heart, receives the very presence of God. And we can do that as well. We can imitate her as those empty vessels ready to receive the Lord. How do we do that? Well, we say those same words as she did. May it be done to me according to your word. Yes, Lord, I'll receive you. I'll make my bodily temple the dwelling place where you can live. And we do that even in a physical way here, or somewhat of a metaphysical way through the Eucharist. That the Eucharist made present here on this altar at this Mass will be given to us as food. And we'll receive our Lord in a very, very mysterious way. We'll receive him into our bodies, yet we'll also receive him into our hearts as Mary did. So as we meditate on these mysteries, what it means to be a house, what it means to be a family, let's say to God, be it done unto me according to your word. Come, Lord, come dwell here in our house. Come save us as we wait for you.